Praise and thanks be to our God for his grace, also for the privilege that we can be this afternoon here.
So we
want to give him the honor and the thanks, worshipping him together. Before we do that, I would like to read some verses, very well-known verses, in Psalms 2, verse 11 and 12. Let us stand up for it. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and faithfulness, O God. We thank you for the privilege, O God, that you have given unto us. We may look up to you, the Almighty and true God of the heavens and the earth, you who you created everything, also us you created. So give grace that we as your creation, Lord, thank you and your word, listening to you. Give us grace, Lord, that we don't look what was given over for the curse, but that we receive grace to hold fast to you and your word, so that you can be with us, blessing us. Amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. Now this afternoon, Brother Frank will again speak to us. And then a couple of weeks he will not be here. But before he does that, the singers will come. Please come to the front. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. We wished it would be already so far. And on that wonderful morning, in the near future, all this will be history. It will have happened already. And whoever was then ready and who will be with the Lord, he will have it well forever. For him, everything will be worthwhile. For the others, it says, woe unto them who have been left behind on the earth, because now the devil has come down to you and is furious. Before we look at the word briefly, I would like to ask Sister Brother Gajdacz to sing the song about the storm. One is in the midst of the storm, and then doesn't matter whether one is inside or outside, one hears the storm. As I like to hear the song of the storm, I don't like to be in the storm. I like it to be safe somewhere and hear the storm outside. This I like. But when one sits, for instance, in the plane and everything goes down in the storm, this is not so nice. So, sing now the song. Be so kind. You know it inside out. We are happy that we can be here, and we know that there is one here who can command the storm. One is here who has the power over the storm. And they asked, who is this to whom the waves and the storms are obedient? We say, it is the Lord our God. He knows my thoughts. I may rest in his arms. Let the storms rage. Let the winds blow. I just look up where the stars are. One day the battle will be over. Then I will be with Jesus in glory. One day I heard the word of the cross. For me, poor sinner, the Lord died. Believe, my heart, believe. Let the storms rage and the winds blow. I just look up where the stars are. One day it's over. All the battle, all the strife. Then I will be with Jesus in glory.
Lass die Stürme
If you feel like me, then we could sit and listen. Already when the singers have sung, one could close one's eyes, opening heart and ears, listening what was expressed in it. And one day a great multitude will sing the song of the Lamb with the words, "Great and wonderful are your works, Lord Almighty God." And we may be part of them, on which God already has done great things on the earth. And the third stanza, it was sung, "Then he will seek it who rejects it now, and it will be forever too late." We know, of course, what was said of the time of Noah. The door was closed, and then it started to rain, and it rained about 40 days and 40 nights. And as I preach it in the evangelization sermons, when the prophecy was fulfilled, Noah didn't need to call the people anymore. They came by themselves. But it was too late. It was too late then. In the moment when they saw that the rain fell and the water rose higher and higher, then it was clear to them, the hour of judgment has come. His wrath hits us now, and hundreds, thousands of them might have surrounded the ark and might have said, "Noah, open unto us. Now we believe that you spoke in the name of the Lord. We believe that you are a prophet of God. We see what you announced. This comes to fulfillment. We feel it already." Noah had no influence on the closing, neither influence on the opening. He did his task. Many, many years, he did his task. And then suddenly, it was too late. And our Lord said in Luke 17, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days when the Son of Man is being revealed." And so it will be. Matthew 25, "And the door was closed. Those who were ready went in, and then the door was closed. And then the others came and said, 'Lord, open unto us.'" No answer anymore, except, "Depart from me." Beloved, the grace which God offers, nobody should play with, because the hour comes and the day comes on which there will be no grace anymore, but judgment. Then the heaven will be like ore, and the judgments of God will fall upon this earth. Blessed is the man who received the grace and the Spirit of God, letting it work in him, coming to the Lord, as long as there is the time to do so. In every age, the people had to believe God to stand one's ground before him. A general faith in God never saved anyone, but the direct personal faith which we must have toward God on the basis of God's word that he has spoken with us. Abraham believed God, and this was imputed unto him for righteousness. Every one of the prophets believed that what the Lord said unto them, and by this they were all justified. We, in this time, we have the task before God to believe what the Spirit is saying unto the churches now. We are not living in the days of Reformation, not in the revivals which happened afterward, but in the last days, in the days in which everything comes to its end, in the days in which everything has to be restored into its original condition. And there will always be both. On one hand, God will speak through the mouth, which he determined. And on the other hand, those will come on the scene who speak against it. And the people of God must make their decision on which they want to listen. And they must place themselves onto the side of God. It never took place without a test. In the days of Moses, there was Jannes and Jambres. And this was not enough yet. Then came a Balaam who came to curse the people of God. Moses had the word for that time. Moses gave from God deliverance. The lamb was killed. Divine statutes were given. Moses had a commission of God. Then we ask, who was Balaam? Who commissioned him? Who called him? Who wanted to reward him? Who commissioned him? But by this, the people, time and again, were tossed to and fro. We must, with a clear view, we must understand where God speaks, what God speaks, what is connected with God's speaking, and we must know on whom we have to hearken to. There are many voices, but for us, there's only one voice. And during the time of all the prophets, whether in the days of a Jeremiah or of an Elijah, whenever it was, and my eyes fell on this one place in the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 18, from verse 18. Then those came on the scene. Then they said, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. More one doesn't have to do it. More one doesn't need. One just needs to belong to those who just say, oh, this you don't have to listen to. You can just bypass it. And as it was then, so it will be often, and even now, that the priests still have teachings. But what kind of teaching? Whoever was not taught by God himself, he has no right to teach others in the name of the Lord. First, we must have been taught by God to pass on God's teachings. Otherwise, we lead the people of God around God. In the days when the Lord Jesus walked this earth, all the priests had the mouth full of teaching. And they were teaching the people around God. They were leading them around God. And what was it? That the Lord had to say, my sheep hear my voice. The people had time and again had to make their decisions. And especially in this last time, so close, as now, the genuine and the false was never been together as now. In all the past centuries, one knew who is white and black. One knew where the people belong. This was open to the surface. Today, it's no more like this. Today, Pentecost 82, there can be a meeting in Strasbourg where everything is under one umbrella. All are singing the wonderful Pentecostal choruses. And at the end, the Holy Mass is distributed by the Catholic priest. Today, everything is under one roof, so close together that only the elect are the ones who have an overall view, because they understood God's speaking and they've placed God's word above everything. and they checked everything by the word of God. One cannot check because somebody makes a nice face. This is the test, the word of the living God. And I had to think about it, about the term Babylon. Even words are so close. Babel means God's gate. Babel. That's how we have it in our language. It means God's gate. Babylon means confusion. It can be so close together. That what people call the words of God and who think they are the mediators for to God, they are not the gates for God. They are the abyss of confusion. But the people don't notice it. They bypass it. It was Daniel who said, "They that understand shall notice it, and they shall instruct many in the last time." And by the grace of God, we have reached the end time. Here, at the time they said, "Come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah." All those who are not of God, they devise devices. They don't know anything to do but to just cause damage. And then the evidence is, the proof is, the law shall not perish from the priest. Who asked them for their teaching? Who sent them? What good is a teaching if it leads around God? No counsel from the wise. Oh, about this one could say many things. The Holy Scripture says, "He who is wise in this time is silent." That's how it is written. He who is wise in this time, he is silent. Whoever wants to use his tongue mightily didn't understand yet that God's speaking was given, that we firstly must be silent. But it goes on. There are three who come to the word: the priest, the wise, and also the prophets. Nor the counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Huh? They can deal mightily with the word, but in their way. And this doesn't profit anyone. It must be God's way. God's way must be connected with the word of God, and it must be manifested amongst God's people. And when in the days of John, many spoke, then they spoke around God. He was the voice of him who cries in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way for the Lord." With the proclamation of the word of prophecy, the preparing of the way must be connected. God, to God must be a people prepared, as it is written, which will serve him, which can serve him. We know in the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 40, it is being said, "Comfort my people, speak friendly with Jerusalem, tell her the time of your bondage is over," and so forth. God, in that moment, where he started to make history of salvation, he prepared a way. He gathered his people. He spoke with them. And all who were of God, they went to hear what is being said to them. They didn't stop at priests or wise at prophet or prophets. They felt drawn on the inside to hear the word which this man preached with a camel skin. Outwardly, the people laughed about him. Many might have said, "He looks similar to the one who has this like the camel skin." Many might have shaken their heads, laughing at him. He was a man sent from God with the word of God addressed to the people of God at that time. And the people sent him all the people who should hear. They came under difficult circumstances. And that's how it is also in this time. People will come from near and far to hear the word of the Lord. Because God sends a hunger, not for bread and water, but a hunger, a longing to hear the word of the Lord. And the people will come to hear the word of the Lord. Woe unto us if we preach something else than the word of the Lord. The people of God has the full right to it, to hear the word of the Lord. Coming back to Psalms 2, which is of great significance in the plan of salvation, who already foretells that God will save the Gentiles and what goes with it. And even in Acts chapter 4, the early church write this psalm, they recited this psalm when the place was shaken. You can read it in Acts chapter 4, Psalms 2 is recited. Here it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. This is a mighty prophecy. It goes far beyond the frame of Israel. It's addressed to all the ends of the earth, to all nations and tongues to which we can belong. And God already then, by the mouth of the prophets, he foretold it in advance. Also this here, verse 9, you can also find in Revelation 12. These are all things which were spoken out. And then we come to that what was read. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. This is the matter. He is reverence before the Almighty God required. Serve the Lord with fear, with reverence, not with fear for punishment, but in reverence, in holy fear before God, and rejoice with trembling. Not lightly, but still in the being aware that he is God and that we are just human beings and that we depend on his grace. Here of the Son it says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. Blessed is he who can kiss the Son. Blessed is he who can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, our Lord and Savior. This is also a point which one has to put upon the lampstand among the nations. God became man. He was manifested as the Son of God to make human beings sons and daughters of God. We don't only need the faith in God general, but the faith in God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can only meet God, as we said many times, we can only meet God where he revealed himself to us. He can only be found there where he really is. And then one can say of great certainty, there's only one who walked on the earth who could say, he who sees me sees the Father. There was only one who could say, I will rise on the third day. These are wonderful comparisons which one can draw among the nations. Then one gets happy that one just that doesn't believe just something, but that we believe God, that we believe His Word, that we have certainty about that what we believe and about the way which we walk. Now, let us read from Corinthians a word. From 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here it's written from verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I don't know who of you has the sermon of Brother Branham in his heart or in his mind, but in this connection of the word that God is rich in mercy, in this context it is probably that he speaks about it. Not only that we are partakers of God's righteousness, but that the righteousness of God itself finds expression in us, that we are a part of this righteousness. As Christ took our sin on him, he was made sin for us, so we are fully justified, and we have become partakers of God's righteousness, because he cannot impute sin anymore to us. This can make everyone happy or not. What a message do we want to hear before we understand how well God means with us? More than good. One cannot express it in words at all. It says here, literally, and I ask you to not overhear it. For God was in Christ and has reconciled the world with himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Forgiveness took place. This we all know. But God didn't impute. There are two things. And perhaps I will say it today. There is one multitude God could not impute anything at all. These are the first fruits. when Paul expresses it, then he brings it mightily, very short in summary. He says it in Romans chapter, blessed, Romans 4, verse 7 and 8. Blessed. For we know that, blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute sin. So, we know that at the second resurrection, many will enter into eternal life. All who are part, all who will be received at the second resurrection and who have believed in Jesus Christ, they received forgiveness and they have eternal life. But the first fruits, the multitude which will be raptured, those who have part in the first resurrection, they have been justified, sanctified, perfected, transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. There's no judgment needed anymore. The judgment took one on himself, namely the just punishment which would have come over us. I wished that it would be written in your heart and my heart. It would be settled there, that a divine reconciliation took place. Do you know how we deal with things what God has done? We deal with it humanly. And as we as humans, one time we forgive, one time we don't forgive. And so we deal with that what God has done. And this is false. We must deal with that what God has done. We must deal with it divinely. We cannot deal with divine things humanly. This is not worthy of God. With the divine things, we must deal divinely. And this means that we speak, that we have to speak God's language. God has given reconciliation. He has atoned sin. He didn't impute trespasses at all. Full forgiveness, eternal salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. With God, we will never hear accusations. He does not change. He does not stagger. The sleeper of Israel does not slumber, nor sleep. We change, we stagger. And let us understand from today on what God's reconciliation means. He didn't impute sin. He has forgiven. He has atoned. And he perfected us forever. And if we this receive for us and for others also, then we can also understand the verse, therefore we know no more anymore after the flesh. We of course have been lifted up into the spiritual realm. We leave the natural in the natural realm and we leave the divine in the divine realm. And most of today, they are more pious than Paul. And this I read you, so that you know how pious he was. And then you can look down on him. Why always looking down on others? Perhaps it's good. I read from Romans 7. And you will find out what kind of truth has penetrated this man. This was not, he knew of what he was speaking of. Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Ha. What kind of preacher would admit that today? Ha. They are all lifted up and full of hypocrisy. This hypocrisy looks behind the collar. He who looks behind the collar In front, nothing is seen, but on the back, he who looks properly, he sees how the hypocrisy is behind the collar. Yeah. Paul, such a man of God. Here one can put off the glasses, can take off your head. Everyone, one can do what comes into your mind at that moment. So true could only be the servants of God. All the others, they were in higher realms. And they made a show of themselves. And so no one will succeed. We will only succeed when we understand that we are still waiting for the changing of our bodies. Somebody just phoned me recently and said, Brother Frank, I get a visitor from my brother. I get a visit. He died already. And I didn't know exactly what this means. I could almost calculate it. Yes, but sometimes I let other people calculate because I don't like calculating. And when I tell you what the people think here to have been died, then you really feel sorry for them. These are poor people who cannot help themselves anymore. A Paul, was he dead with Christ? 100%. But in the natural things, he placed the things as they had to be placed. He was no one who has put on himself a pious mask and visiting the old aunts and saying, I can do without everything, I'm dead already, and so forth. Such a man, he doesn't know what he speaks. He doesn't know the divine order at all. He is a perverted man and nothing more. And he just deceives other people. The natural realm is a natural realm, totally normal as it is. And the spiritual realm is a totally normal spiritual realm. And whoever mixes up these two realms will be mixed up himself. Don't be angry with me. The time is here. The Lord doesn't speak in parables. He speaks openly and freely as he spoke then. And whoever waits that it is spoken in parables, he didn't understand yet that this time is over. The Lord calls now together his own. And he says, to the multitudes, I spoke in parables so that they can't hear and don't understand. But with you, I will speak face to face. To you, it is given to know the mysteries of God. One just have to read on these things. And then this man here admits and says, in verse 21, I don't want to read verse 21 because then you fall away from the faith. But you shall be penetrated by the truth. Yeah, when one says amen, yeah. 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Yes, this is a matter. I hope you are not staggering in your faith. Be honest. If these people of God wouldn't have spoken in such a truth, then we could all despair and give up going home and say, my God, we rather give up now. Yes. Nobody needs to give up. Nobody needs to resign. Nobody shall draw back. We all trust together in the living God, and we are waiting. After our soul was changed, we are waiting for the changing of our bodies. And we are not waiting in vain. The changing of our bodies comes. And whoever does now that he's already changed. He needs a change upstairs. Yeah. That's how it is with many. Paul doesn't stop here. He just goes one step further and he says, and praise the victory. 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Also, this should not be written in the Bible because it's not pious enough. It should not be written here. If you can scratch it out if you want. I wouldn't do it. I would thank God. And I would say, Lord, thank you that you had prophets, that you had apostles, that you had men of God who of a truth proclaimed your word, who didn't look down from above, but who were in the same situation, who brought the word in the same way to help others. And I tell you, wherever we read, we receive help from God. In this word which we read before, Paul said, to us was given the ministry of reconciliation. We want to make a wonderful message out of it. Being worthy of God so that forgiveness and reconciliation is given to God's people in a worthy way. Not your wrestling, not your fighting. He himself must do it and has done it already. When our Lord cried out on the cross of Calvary, it is finished. It took place. You and I, we were redeemed. Our guilt was forgiven. Our sin was covered. Nothing can be imputed to us anymore. The chastisement was laid on him so that we might have peace. Let us understand it at this weekend once for all, that the redemption is a gift from God, a work of redemption offered to us. We cannot take it for ourselves, and we are not ready to give it away. Just the contrary, we are grateful to God. We receive it just as it was given to us, and we ask the Lord to make out of us people who walk in the ways of God, who remain in the limits of his word, to reach the goal. I don't believe that God meant to convey licentiousness. I just think that God meant to reach out to you and to me a helping hand, so that nobody must be despaired and nobody remains behind the grace of God, but that all are strengthened in the faith, coming to the Lord, knowing that he is our Redeemer and everything by grace he has done for us already. He who didn't know sin, that's how it is written, he made sin for us so that we would become the righteousness of God. Today, we cannot understand it yet. Also, this Brother Bram said clearly, he said, earthly speaking, we were already in our grand-grand-grandfather. The predisposition was already there. Everything was there. So it is spiritual. Also, we were in God. And when God came down, when he took on himself the form of a man, when he became flesh, he died on the cross of Calvary. In the body of flesh he died. And the blood was shed to redeem us who we are in this body of flesh. But the divine seed we have in our soul, he redeemed us. We don't belong into this body at all. This body is like a foreign substance for us, which we just bear temporal. And that what is earth shall become earth again. And what is dust shall become dust again. and that what is ashes shall become ashes. But the divine seed which was laid into our soul, these are sons and daughters of God. This is the matter which you must understand once. When we have put off this natural tabernacle, then we have a building built by God, a body which is already ready for us. And we will be then in the resurrection body. I say it once again, and Brother Branham emphasized it in the sermon Melchizedek. Actually, God originally planned that everything remains in the spiritual way, but then he created man from the natural material. But here we don't belong into. Here we'll be taken out again. We are already redeemed in hope, yes, but when the time is fulfilled, then we will put off this natural tabernacle and we cross over into the body which God created already for us. Why do we groan in this body? Why don't we feel well in this body? Why do we complain? This is totally normal. And Paul says it in Romans 8, the whole creation is groaning. We are groaning. Who we have received the spirit of the fruit of the first fruits, and we are waiting that we are manifested as sons and daughters of God. Romans 8, verse 23. Here it says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Can it be said more clearly? About what do we groan? Do we groan about our soul? Do we groan about our spirit or about God's word? Of course not. The problem which we have, the trouble, is the tabernacle in which we are. The divine just doesn't belong into this. The divine belongs into a corresponding body. And we're longing for it. We're waiting for it. But one thing we know, this natural is determined to that it goes where it came from. And the divine is determined that it also goes there where it came from. And we were in God and will be presented to God. And what does Brother say? For instance, there was a time your father didn't know anything of you. Then you were not here yet. And then came the union. And then you came forth. Let me say it today, just with a divine way. Without the union with God, no children will be born spiritually. It must come to the point that God and church will be united, and the divine seed is laid into the church so that the divine seed can come forth again. This is the matter. Without that, it is impossible. But everything is in the sermon which you can read. And sometimes one has to stop at a sentence and think about it a bit and perhaps say, Lord, what do you want to tell me by this? Are we grateful to our God for His word which He has given? That He has given us the privilege as His blood-bought flock, as people with whom He made the covenant by the holy sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. God claimed us. He redeemed us. He called us by our names. We are His, and nobody can pull us out of His hand. He can try it. But there we say, I don't know whether Brother said it, when one brother probably said, I have no strength anymore. I cannot hold the hand of the Lord anymore. And then the brother said, you don't need it to hold it. The Lord holds your hand. And so it is. If we lose strength and we think, oh, we can't anymore. This is nice when we can't anymore. He holds your hand. He holds you. If you would have to hold Him, oh, my goodness, how often you would lose strength or your hand would slip. No, our Lord holds us with his pierced hand. On the cross of Calvary, his hands and feet were pierced, and the prophet expressed it. And he said, I have graven you upon the palms of my hands. I have graven you upon the palms of my hands on the cross of Calvary. This took place. There his hands were nailed to the cross. But believe me, not the nails were holding him on the cross, but the love of God was holding him on the cross for you and for me. Oh, that we could grasp what it means that he loved us so much, that he has pulled us out, making us sons and daughters of God. Then we will get grateful and happy. May God use this weekend that nobody goes from here with a conscience of sin, but that all reason together with God and say, Lord, you have spoken to us, and we heard it, and we believe that we can go out without guilt, that we are acquitted ones, that we are redeemed ones, that we are pardoned ones, that we are saved ones, purified ones, that we say it to God today at this place where his word was addressed to us, that we reason with him before we go from here, reasoning with him, that we don't go out from here with an inner struggle and not knowing what we are at, but that we reason it out here with our God and say, Lord, we understood you. You have spoken to us. We believe it. We receive it. You made the covenant with us. You have shed your holy blood. Everything what you said is true. We believe it. And you will see. Only thus we can get happy in our God. I don't know whether Brother Rus has a word still. Otherwise we can pray. I come now to the close with my part. I just want to commit myself that you pray for me. And God willing, beginning of March, I will be here again. Remember me on this journey. In particular, I never was in these four countries. In Hong Kong, I was already. But in the other four countries, I was not yet. We want to ask God now together that he gives grace to this journey. And I would like to be as Eliezer then, to seeking the bride. And wherever the bride souls are coming out, I want that they get drink and food, that they are blessed. And when the last one has come out and has entered in, then the Lord will return to take his own home. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise and thanks be to our God for these precious words which we heard at this weekend by his grace. I don't know, but God has spoken to us in a mighty way through his precious and holy word. And when God has spoken to us, what have we then to do? Then we can just tune in with a psalm writer who says in Psalms 95, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Yes. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Dear brothers and sisters, this word of admonition, we want to take it to heart and want to hearken to that what God has spoken to us. And not saying what they say, what they like. No, this was never in our mind, that we speak what we like, but we want to speak what God wants to speak and what God has to say to us through His word. Everything else, we know it's empty wind and it will not remain, but the word of the Lord is true and it will find its fulfillment also in our days. And I believe also in our days there are people who believe His word and who will reach what He promised in His word also for our days. We are so happy and so grateful. Let us worship. Let us bow down. That's how the psalm writer says in his days. He says it to the people of God. But today we may call out to one another in the name of the Lord, that we come before Him, that we ask Him, that we thank Him, that He spoke to us so mightily in such a wonderful way. I don't know how you have felt, but all the words of last night until tonight, these are the words of our God and the words of admonition, the words of correction. And this we need, I need it, and we all need it. I'm so grateful for every word which we could hear at this weekend. And we are grateful that all you have come. And may God bless you, is my prayer. I would like to ask you, ponder upon these words in your heart. Ponder upon them. Take everything to heart, what was said, and believe it. And then we'll reach that. And then God will bring us to the point where He wants us to be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, we give our brother greetings to Korea and everywhere where he comes. Take greetings with you to all brothers and sisters whom we don't know, those who will be added, whom the Lord will call. I'm so happy and so grateful that God is at work, brothers and sisters, that He has a tool which still goes. One can sit at home and one can speak about others. But what does one do himself? If one speaks about others sitting at home, then one proved already then that one was not commissioned by God to do something. But God had His messengers, and He has them until our days. And we are so happy and grateful that our brother doesn't have to do it on his own, but the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit waiting upon it. Didn't we read it in the book of Acts, how Philip was waiting and the Spirit of God came and led everything so wonderfully? The same it is today. And for this we are so happy and so grateful, beloved. Not everybody can go, but only the one who has received the commission. Philip could not say, go, Andrew, or somebody go. The Lord spoke to me. No, he had to go. Is it right? So it must be, beloved. God does what He likes, and He takes whomever He wants. Others can be upset about it. That doesn't play any role. God knows what He does. Of course, our brother says, people think to be so wise and they want to dictate God what he has to do. You don't have to do it. God does what he likes to do, and nobody can hinder him. Praise and thanks be to our God. Also for this weekend, I say it once again, we're so happy that all you have come. May God bless you on your Heavenly Father. We thank you together for this weekend, for all the precious teachings which we received from your word. May they abide in us. May they find the right place in our hearts. O faithful God, I ask it for myself. I ask it for all of us. Come mightily with your good Holy Spirit into all our hearts, so that we cannot do otherwise but to praise your name, thanking you, jubilating to you with songs of joy for great things you have done in our days. You didn't speak in parables to us, but you spoke to us through your holy word. Thank you. Thank you, O God. We ask you, Lord, bless all your people and bless there in Korea, in Japan. Bless everywhere where you will send your messenger calling out the last ones. Lord, we thank you, God, that you always had a messenger. And it says, as long as you please, we worship you. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, also I would like to thank you with all my heart for the privilege that you are gathering your people to a very special purpose, and that you will give grace that your cross, O Lord, is forever erected, and that all the redeemed will build themselves up on this cross. All those who despair, all those who labor and are heavy laden, they shall find rest and peace, putting off their burden, going out freely as the redeemed and delivered ones, as God dedicated for time and for eternity. Thank you that you made the covenant with us, and that we were included and said yes to this covenant. We are here in your presence. Your blood, Lord, your spirit and your word. Everything is at work amongst your people, so that your name is honored, that your word is confirmed, and that your promises are coming to its fulfillment. And I thank you already today that we don't have to shout loud as the Baal priests, but as Elijah, we will speak with you and you will answer. Hallelujah! Blessed and praised be your name. Your people, whom you have purchased, be consecrated to you in Jesus' name. Amen.